Lots going on. This planet is never stopping, doesn't cease to amaze me. We're going to take your phone calls for a couple hours of open lines. Right at the end, I'm not going to run UFO Phil tonight, as I do every Friday as our goodbye song. I'm playing a song for you. It's my debut. You know, every once in a while, here in L.A. or in St. Louis, I'll be asked to come up and sing a song or so. So with the help of our operations guy, Dan Galante, who did a little mixing for me, very little, I was able to put together a little CD for you, and we'll play it at the end of the show. Not quite American Idol, not even close, but that's what I do. We'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast AM, as we have, of course, open lines for you. And let's go right back to the phones. Marina Del Rey, gorgeous area, by the way. Thomas is with us. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You have a great show, first-time caller.
Oh, good, good.
And I just wanted to kind of talk about shadow figures a little bit. My mom had stage 4 cancer, and she recently passed away maybe a year ago. And she never told me or any of my brothers and sisters.
Oh, and, she didn't want you to worry, did she?
She didn't.
They're that exactly. way.
Exactly. We were all involved in our careers, and she kind of kept it a secret, but I would go over there and hang out with her for a little bit, at least for the last couple of weeks she was alive, and I was actually really sick. And now, I didn't know she was sick, but I was exhibiting the same exact symptoms she was. I was throwing up, had a really bad stomach flu, really bad stomach pains. I would go buy Rolaids. The next day, she would have Rolaids in her car, and I didn't know she was sick. Then finally, she calls me from the hospital and says, you know, I'm in the hospital. It's really bad. You need to come see. And she passes away.
Oh.
Really bad. And then after that, though, I started seeing her in my dreams. Black shadow figure. She would always wear a hat. And so I knew it was her in the dream because I would see the shadow of her hat on top.
Same kind of shape?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it was a black face. I started screaming really loud just because I was shocked that she was there. And then just a really peaceful kind of mood came over me. And after that, I saw her in the corner of my eye on a Sunday morning, and then, like, not her, but another black shadow figure,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming is her, and then it kind of disappears and stuff. So
Did it comfort you, Thomas, when you saw this figure?
It did. In the beginning, I was a little nervous because I just thought I was up for a long time, or in the dreams, I got really nervous, but after a while, I Googled it. You know, I was kind of concerned a little bit. And then I started researching a little bit about the shadow figures and stuff like that. And that's the only logical conclusion I could come to, that what it was. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. And I know, after I kind of go through the whole scenario with being sick, when she was sick, showing the same signs she was showing. And then,
yeah, that's something.
So I just want to kind of share the story. Anybody out there that doesn't believe me, it happens out there. I was one that didn't believe it until I saw it myself.
It sure does. And our condolences, Thomas, on the loss of your mother. My father would have been 89 next week, Feb 22nd, 89 years old. Wow. And we lost him, as you know. Hey, by the way, if any of you have been sleepwalking, try to check in with us as well. Open your eyes and dial the phone and come and get us. Let's go to Cody in Austin, Texas, first-time caller. Hi, Cody.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good, George? Cody. Thank you.
Hi, I was calling in tonight. This is my first time calling, and I've really never really talked about my experiences before. But when I was a young kid, I did Bloody Mary, and since then, my life has just been rather interesting, if you could say. And the reason I'm calling in tonight is I've actually had two experiences where I've dated the same person in two different times in my life.
Huh.
And the second time I dated him, I figured out very quickly that he was a vampire.
And how did you know that you dated him in another life?
Well, the first time that we dated, I thought it was very strange. And then after we dated, I woke up somewhere where I didn't ever remember being, and I woke up in a strange house. It was a party the night before, and it was an abandoned house when I woke up, and nobody had any recollection of this guy, even though he had been in my life for this last month. The second time I dated him, he actually appeared to me in Central California, at a pizza shop that I worked at. I'd actually closed up for the night, and he was there sitting inside a booth and saying, "It's been years, but I've been waiting to see you again." And I didn't know it was the same person, but I could tell by the eyes, and there was just something that drew me into the person. And he explained everything that he was and who he was to me and kind of our past life. And he said, don't expect it now, but you'll see me again in a few years. And at this point, you'll never be happy again until we're reunited somewhere else where we can be together.
Sounds like he put a curse on you. Did he?
I don't know, because ever since the last time that I had seen him in San Diego, I was walking down the street, literally. And the last time I'd ever seen him, he said, throughout history, from now on, you'll get secret letters from me wherever you go. And to this day, I can be at work, it can be a year, it can be 2 years, or wherever I go, a hotel or wherever. I'll get a secret letter at my door, it'll come in the mail, it'll be in a hotel room, in a bag, it'll just mysteriously appear. And he's keeping tabs on me. But every relationship that I've had since then, people will automatically break up with me for no reason. And I've uncovered some people who broke up with me. They can't explain why they broke up with me, but they have a feeling or they have a dream that something bad is about to happen, and they'll just run away from me.
He probably comes and visits them. He's all over the place. I mean, how in the heck would he know where you were all the time? Unless he indeed was a vampire. Funny thing, you're from Austin, Texas, which, of course, is the home to those hundreds of thousands of bats that live under a bridge. And they, every night, take off and go do what they do. They go to find insects and whatever they eat. And then they come back before the sun comes up. And they're just like vampires. But the funny thing is, I was just talking to a friend of mine. He runs a little restaurant here on Ventura Avenue. It's called Carnival. Good people. A little Middle Eastern place. And Nabil was talking to me about Austin, Texas. He had just come back from there. And he said, "You won't believe this. These bats that are out there all the time." And I said, "They're just like vampires, aren't they? They go out at night. They come back before the sun." And I was told that story when we were in Austin, Texas, at KLBJ, our affiliate, at one of their talk fests. And it was a very strange sight seeing these bats. You can't see the sky when they take off. There are that many of them. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Don in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the program, West of the Rockies. Hi, Don. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Good, sir. Not bad.
Listen, I'm 68 years old. I've never talked to anybody about this, my dreams. But along about 1972, I was living in Longview, Texas at the time. And I had an aunt that lived in Atlanta. And during the night, I had this dream that she got very, very sick and was carried to the hospital. The next morning, my wife was working the midnight shift at a 24-hour restaurant. And when she came home, I told her about it and told her how shocking it was, you know, in my dream. And along about 12 o'clock noon that day, my mother called and told me that my aunt had a heart attack and was carried to the hospital. And the other thing that I've had back along about the same time, and I've never talked to anybody about that at all, and that's the same thing that one of your guys was talking about on the phone, but about flying in your dreams.
Yeah.
The only difference, he said he had his arms tucked, you know, under his armpits, and he was using his arms. I was like Superman and had my arms out in front of him and was able to take off from the ground and just hover, you know, above and fly around. I haven't had these dreams in years and years and years, and I was trying to call in when you had the other guest on the line and see what she thought about, you know, my dreams like that. And I've never had any of them since.
Okay, that's pretty good. By the way, you can always email also visionaryliving.com. That's Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and she'll help you out with your dreams as well. I think if I were to fly in my dream state, I'd want to fly like Superman and not like a bird with my arms under my armpits. flapping around. Somebody try that for a moment. Just do that. Come on. No one's looking. Put your arms under your armpits and flap like a bird. Isn't that kind of ridiculous? But so be it. Let's go to Nancy in Damascus, not Syria, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Oh, what a privilege to talk with you. You're an amazing man.
Well,
and
thank
you. I've been listening for about 15 years now because I'm a real insomniac. So, but seriously, what I wanted to talk about was 9/11.
Okay.
And going back to that time, I teach college. And during that week, I was teaching the night of the 9/11 event and the next two nights. And, of course, we were all in such shock.
Sure, yeah.
But I knew I had to debrief a little bit my students. So I had to teach the regular curriculum and 'cause I teach for 4 hours.
What do you teach, by the way?
Well, I teach writing, speaking, critical thinking, and ethics were my main courses then. So just talking about, you know, what's the difference between fact, opinion, or, you know, what's your source was the piece that I wanted to address. And so it actually wasn't until what I would do would be to teach my regular curriculum. And then, like, the last 45 minutes, we would go to the 9/11 event and talk about what we had heard and then define, was this fact, was this opinion, or we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And to help them, you know, to define, okay, if it's fact, then what's your source, and, you know, and is that a credible, reliable, whatever source. And so the last night, at the very end, I just felt this urge to say, no one has brought up any information on whether or not our government knew about this possibly occurring beforehand. And so as I threw that out there.
Were they in shock?
Oh, yeah, we were. And, you know, actually, I was kind of shocked to hear myself say it, but I just kind of felt so I just felt so attacked. And I really wanted to know in earnest myself. Who knows what? And but it just seemed a little bit too, I don't know, Pat, to have Cheney in his strategic war room. And
I know. It was strange. The whole thing was weird.
Yeah. And it just seemed a little bit too safe for them. And so one student in the back said, yes, I have information about that. And it was kind of like in that movie where Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn and their heads turned around.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was like all the heads turned around because it was a girl and she was in the back of the room. And I said, oh, really? I said, oh, well, this information that you have, do you think it's fact? Is it opinion? Or you don't know? And she said, oh, it's fact. And then, of course, we were all like, oh, my gosh, you know. And I said, well, you know, what do you know? And she said, well, I know that they knew quite a bit of time beforehand. And I said, well, how long, you know, how long before? And she said, well, I know it was about 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks. And she said, I don't know if they knew the exact date or time. And I said, well, what is your source? How do you know? And she says, well, my dad works for NORAD, and he told us.
Wow. Did you believe her?
Oh, I did. Absolutely. I mean, at that time, and I didn't even hardly say anything. We talked about it that night in class. But, you know, it was the country was in a climate where you didn't even hardly talk about this to your family. Your family would think you were treasonous or a conspiracy theorist.
Sure.
In fact, anybody who brought that up was considered a conspiracy theorist, and their credibility was in jeopardy. And as an instructor, I had to be very careful.
Yeah, you know, I think now, as we look back, we can probably say with pretty good certainty that some people in government might have been aware of what was going on, and they turned their cheek the other way just to let it happen. I also believe that some bigger groups got involved with Al-Qaeda to do what they did on that horrible day. This wasn't just a small group of people who came in and did their thing. There was a much bigger picture there. And if you see the events that have unfolded since this tragedy occurred, how we've lost rights, how we used it to go into Afghanistan and Iraq, and how it has really not stopped, because it's going to continue. We're going to have more and more episodes and more involvements in other countries. Watch Syria, watch Iran, they're next, and it's going to happen. I'll be back on the air one day, not saying I told you so, but we'll reporting on these events. And just mark my word, this planet is going through an incredible change. And, you know, thank God we've got you here to talk with us about it. Let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Barry, go ahead.
Hey, George, what a wonderful pleasure it is to speak to you. I've been a groupie of you guys for years.
Thank you, Barry.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I told the Tommy Danhausen, I said, y'all have got the best production crew. You get to have all the fun talking, but they back there working behind.
Oh, yeah, I got them working like little bumblebees.
Yeah. Well, listen, the reason I'm calling is, and I got through twice a couple of nights ago when you had the fellow on there talking about Edward Liebscom and the Carl Castle.
Sure.
Well, I lived in Homestead, Florida for about 2 years, back about 25 years ago.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough through talking about this thing. I was fascinated with it. I went so often that they quit charging me. They wouldn't even charge me to go in anymore. And so anyway, I was asking people all around town, and through my boss that I was working for, he said, well, I know a guy that knew him if he's still alive. And sure enough, we called that guy, and he was about 75 or 80. And he said he knew him back in the 60s.
That's great.
What, I mean, back in the 30s.
Did he talk about what the guy did and how he moved those stones?
Yeah, well he said, and here's the gist of it is, it's a combination of alien help and his determination, too. He said that when he would go out and help him do some things, they would finish the day, you know, cutting the blocks out of the coral. And he would leave, and he said he'd go back a day or two later, and all these big stones would be up sitting ready to be moved and put in place. And he said, well, how in the world did you get that out by yourself? And he told him that he had extra special help that would come and help him from time to time, and, you know, when he needed it. And that, anyway, and, of course, you know the fact that he built the thing in Florida City first.
And then he moved it.
And moved it all the way over to Homestead.
Yeah.
That's where all the tourists.
Well, when he said extra help, was he talking about extraterrestrial help or a couple guys down the street?
No, he was talking about extraterrestrial help. He said, shoot, you don't think I could move that thing, do you?
That's a great. Hey, we got to hit this break. That's a great story. Coral Castle and little 120-pound Edward Liebscom moving these blocks as big as some of the blocks in the Giza pyramids. Amazing, all by himself. Well, it's time for our shout-out to those of you who listen to Coast to Coast on more than 560 radio stations across North America. Thank you for everything you do. By the way, every once in a while, go to our website, click the affiliates list, and keep tabs on our stations, because the list continues to grow. The cities are growing. Some of the stations change in various cities. They go to different formats and things like that. Then we pick up a new one. So just track us that way. Coast Insiders, thank you for everything. XM Talk, Channel 168. And then the various chat rooms and groups, Into Infinity. Hello, folks. How are you? Fantastic Forum 2, with the number. Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC. Those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, just go to coasttocoastam.com in the far right-hand corner. Just click the two little Facebook and Twitter icons, and you can follow us there. Yahoo Chat, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our friend Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Greg, I'll be back in St. Louis somewhere around the end of March, so get that grill going. And welcome back to Coast. By the way, you can obviously tell we're into a political year. You begin to hear these political ads all over the place. And I just want you to know, we remain on this program unbiased. and nonpartisan. Okay? Those are ads. That's not part of our programming. Let's go to the phones. Randy in Bloomfield, Indiana. Welcome to the show, Randy. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you, sir?
Okay, Randy, good.
Man, I'm glad to hear you. I love your voice.
Well, thank you.
I took your advice a few minutes ago, and I did flap my wings like a bird, and it feels pretty darn good to do that.
And if you do it really fast, you just might take off.
That's right. Well, I did try to get through to your guest, but unfortunately the lines were blocked, and I was really hoping I could ask a question about dreams.
Well, maybe I can help you. I've interviewed enough of them. I'm almost a mini expert.
Yes, sir, and since you had the chance to feel her out, you might be able to help me with this. My question is in two parts, and the first part of the question is, I have this little, it's a booklet, how to interpret your dreams,
okay.
Basically. You know, and it alludes to if you have a dream about some snakes, a lot of snakes or serpents, that you're about to come into some money. And I didn't know if anyone else had that kind of connection there. And the second part of the question is, if you have a dream or a nightmare about an alien abduction, how do you know when you wake up whether it was a dream or a nightmare or the real thing? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, George.
Okay, Randy, I appreciate that. That's, first of all, snakes and money, I haven't heard of that before. I don't particularly like snakes at all. They're slithery little creatures, maybe because of my days being raised as a Catholic and the devil and the serpent and things like that. But I have never, ever tied them together with money, snakes and money, ever. To me, it's something in your life that is slithering away, maybe escaping you. In terms of alien abductions, unless you really have some physical marks on your body, you really don't know if it's a dream or whether you've really been abducted or not. You might be able to find out in hypnotherapy, as Barney and Betty Hill did a long time ago, when they hypnotized them and got this incredible story that was turned into a movie and a book, The Interrupted Journey. But you really don't know. And that, by the way, is a strange phenomenon all by itself, abductions. Too many people are reporting it. Too many things are happening. Next up, we go to Sacramento, California. It's Frank's turn on Coast to Coast. Frank, thanks for calling.
Hi there, George.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I have a little story. I work in a building, and at night I work two jobs. And there's a room where busy, harried executives go, and they chill out for half an hour. So,
like the officers' quarters, almost.
Yeah. And they can lie down on this nice, comfy chair. And in order to be functional in the daytime when I have my other job, I've gone in there and patrolled that room pretty heavy a couple times.
Okay.
So, one night I go in there, and you have to understand that all the lights on the outside go out, and from motion. If there's no motion, the lights go out in about 15 minutes.
To conserve energy, right?
Yeah. So I go in there and I lie down, but I was awake, and I'm very sure I was awake. And I'm lying there, and all the lights go out on the outside, but there's a little bit of shadowing on the wall. And I was staring at the wall, and this huge head comes moving into the wall, moving along the wall, and it was like a silhouette of a man with a hat on, and like a fedora. And before I looked up anything about shadow people, I had no connection to that. I'd never heard of it.
Sounds like a classic case of one, though.
Right. And but I had never even thought of that before this happened to me. So, of course, I talked to the other guy I work with. He thought I was nuts. He said, you just fell asleep, you know, and you were dreaming. So, but that kind of freaked me out. Oh, and then right when that happens also, all the lights come on in the other room where they only come on when somebody moves around in there. So I, of course, thought somebody was there.
Sure, of course. I would think that, too.
Nobody was there, okay? There was nobody else around. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, I go back into that room and lie down again. But this time I was very much awake. I was very aware that I was awake. Now all the lights go out, and then all of a sudden, all the hair starts to go on the back of my neck, and a like circular shadow starts moving up and down the wall, and then all the lights go on in the other room.
Did you feel threatened at all?
I felt really freaky.
Yeah.
I don't go back in there anymore.
But did you feel scared or that this entity was going to do something to you?
Yeah, that's what I felt. But then other people have told me, oh, this was somebody's trying to tell you something.
Yeah. See, I've never heard of cases where these shadow people attack you. They're there. They scare you. But I've never heard them really physically attack somebody. Let's go to Tom. You know, we get text messages and text questions now. We put that in. And you can listen to Ross whenever we run our phone numbers. He'll always give you the text phone number. Let's go to Tom in the studio. What's going on, Tom? What do you got? Tommy, you up there? Well, there you are. Okay.
Got me now?
Yep.
All righty here. Crystal from New Mexico.
We had to find what studio you were hiding in.
You can't see me.
That's right.
Crystal from New Mexico says, George, Iran scares me. Do you think full-scale nuclear war is inevitable on this planet?
It's a possibility. It's a very, very sad possibility that this could happen, Tom. I don't want to really elaborate on it, but I think all of us have this same feeling, this feeling of impending doom. Something's going to happen.
Ahmadinejad's crazy. He's just... I think you're right, though. I don't think we should labor too much on it yet.
Well, you know, the whole thing's disappointing. I mean, I just don't understand why people have to annihilate each other, why they can't sit down and say, okay, let's fix this. But you know what? That would be a perfect world, wouldn't it? And we don't live in one.
We do not live in a perfect world. Now, on a lighter note, I have not heard this song, so I'm as anxious as anyone to hear this.
I want you at the end of the show, next hour, to come in the studio with me so you can hear the full fidelity of the song as I introduce myself, or maybe you can introduce me. And it's a 3-minute song. It's a song that I sing at the, you know, little nightclubs and stuff when they ask me to.
Do I need to be concerned?
No.
Great.
Danny, on a 1 to 10, give me a number. How'd you like it? Hey, you see, give me an 8. That's not bad.
What's he going to say?
Except when we were doing it and rehearsing it, he was rolling his eyes several times.
I will. To your credit, I will say that I have heard from other people that you have sung songs and you were pretty good.
Yeah, this problem with this song is, you know, I didn't have a piano player with me or a full orchestra. I had to do it from music that I was able to get. And so it was a little different feeling for me, but you know it's still, you know, I enjoyed myself. I've got a couple friends that are in the industry, and they have been begging me to come up with 10 songs that I love, and they want to record them, and I'm thinking of doing that, and then maybe we can use the proceeds either for our charity or for to give to Coast listeners whenever they're in trouble, as you well know.
I think that's a great idea, and I, for one, will be counting the moments.
Okay. Now, I do want to ask you another question while I have you before we go back to other calls. A couple weeks ago, a lady called. She's had health problems. I asked her if she would take this specific medicine, if she could afford it, if she would. She said yes. I think it was like $15,000 or something. You have been assigned to work with her to get her taken care of. Any updates on that?
Well, I emailed the person that I talked to. She doesn't like me to say who they are.
I understand that.
We can't say the organization. But I have not heard back.
But I'd love to say who it was.
Oh, so would I. But she will get back to me. She just hasn't yet.
Okay. You're on that.
I'm on that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Tom. We'll get another text one from you next hour. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Richard, welcome to the show. Hi, Richard.
You don't believe in coincidences, do you?
No, sir, not at all.
Well, one time many years ago, I was in San Diego, stationed there. I was walking across the street. The light had changed green, and the cars were moving opposite my direction, and they were doing 35 or so. And as I stepped up on the curb, having crossed the street, a little boy broke from his mother's side and ran headlong. He was about three, just as fast as his little legs could carry him toward that street.
Oh.
He was facing certain death. And I just happened to be in the exact right place at the exact right time to pick him up and keep him out of that street and hand him back to his mother.
You saved his life.
I think I was guided by angels who sometimes choose human beings to do their work for.
I think so, too. You're absolutely right.
Well, that's my story.
That's chilling. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Richard in Houston. Next up, we go to KG in Billings, Montana, west of the Rockies. Hi, KG.
How you doing, George?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Just fine.
Good.
I want to tell you about it. I don't know if it was a little ripple in time that we went through or if we saw ghosts or something, but me and my son Paul were out fishing on the Little Bighorn River, and this was last August.
Okay.
And it was close to dawn, and we'd been there pretty much most of the night. We had a little tent set up and our lantern and everything.
Isn't that where Custard and his group was?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
About 15 miles away.
Okay.
So we're sitting there and we're fishing, and this thunderstorm just comes from nowhere, just kind of weird. I don't know. It was crazy lightning. And so it chased us into the tent and everything. So once it stopped, we came out and started fishing again. And about 3-4 minutes later, about 35, no more than 50 yards away from us, 6 Indians on horses start coming out of the woods, crossing the river, and going to a camp across the road or across the river. And I mean, you could see the fire going. You could see people across the river and teepees, and I mean, it was just like they were right there.
They were there,
and they ended up. My dog Packer just started barking and just having a conniption, and this one Indian looks over at her, and she comes yiping back and runs and ran to the truck. And I mean, it was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
That is strange. And of course, Custer died in 1876 out there. And yeah. who's to say that these Native Americans weren't spirits of Indians who died during that time period?
Well, it is actually on the Crow Reservation, so I mean, it's...
That's kind of eerie.
It was very, very strange. I mean, before there was nothing across the river. We fished there hundreds of times, and nothing like that has ever happened to us before. And like I said, it was just this freak thunderstorm that came up. It was just crazy lightning. And then... So I don't know if we got sent back to, you know, just a little ripple of time, or if, I mean, we saw ghosts or spirits. I don't know.
Or maybe both. Hey, thanks for that story. By the way, the folks from the History Channel sent us an email. They want to send us 5 sets of Ancient Aliens. As soon as we get them, we're going to give them to you. We're going to do it as we do a little impromptu question of something. And if you're right, you're going to get them. Ancient Aliens series, of course, which I've participated in now for 4 seasons. We just did season number 4. Just a tremendously produced series. Truly is. Let's go now to one more caller before the break. Beth in Austin, Texas. Let's get you in here, Beth. Go ahead.
Hi, George. It's great to meet you.
You too. How are you?
I'm good. I met you in Austin.
At Talkfest. Yeah. That's when I fell into a puddle, by the way. Remember that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. Just say Nori Falls in Puddle.
Oh, that's terrible. I gave you a I gave you a promo pack for my band. It was a black folder.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, I have a little dream story for you, if there's time.
Let's go for it.
Okay. Little background. I was adopted, and my adopted mother who raised me was rather troubled and rather abusive. But so we had a very complicated relationship, and she died of cancer many years ago.
Okay.
But one good memory that we had was that she always loved Christmas and to sit by the Christmas tree when it was all lit up in the dark. And I got in the habit of making a wish each year on Christmas Eve. And one year I wished that I could know that she was all right, that she was at peace. And that following morning, I had a dream that it was Easter, and she and I were getting dressed up to go to church together. And we walked outside, and there were three kittens, a black one, a white one, and a black and white one. And she reached down and was petting the black kitten and smiling, and then she got up and we went on to church, and I woke up, and it was just, I felt really happy. And then I remembered that she was really scared of cats, so it kind of felt like that it meant that
maybe she came back as one.
Maybe she did, or that wherever she wasn't afraid anymore.
Yeah, that could be, you know, they work in strange ways up there. If you ever want to look at an old musical, go and rent Carousel. It's great. Shirley Jones is in it. She was on our show a few years ago and with her husband, Marty. But rent that movie. It'll tell you a little bit about what goes on in heaven. I'll be back in a moment. Another hour to go of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Don't touch your dial.